The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, how are you?
Always happy when I'm speaking to you, Howard.
Yeah, it just feels right, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's like the stars align and everything just falls into
balance
place.
Balance is restored to the world. So indeed, people, you know, the weather's quite rough here. Roads are flooded. It's been raining for very close to 18 hours in Johannesburg, absolutely nonstop. So we're finding some of our listeners just a little testy. So I'm just warning you, tread very, very carefully.
I go where angels fear to tread.
Good
Howard,
for
but I
you.
Do hope
Good
that everybody
you.
Is just safe.
That's exactly right. The roads are shocking, absolutely appalling. We're getting lots of pictures from listeners of roads that are flooded. It is really, really incredibly difficult out there. So just get home safely, even if it's a little bit later than normal. German Foreign Minister has vowed to improve Israeli-German relations and rejects his predecessor's comment that Israel is an apartheid state. Tell us about it.
Well, I won't say it has any coincidence with me speaking to the German trade unions yesterday, Howard. I mean, you know, you can let that percolate how you want. But Germany's new foreign minister, Heiko Maas, issued a statement yesterday in which he has actually parted ways with his predecessor, Sigmar Gabriel's anti-Israel rhetoric, saying that he rejects the labeling of Israel as an apartheid regime or as an apartheid state, and he said that that he will never make such a statement and will never do so in the future. In fact, he hopes to improve German-Israel relations. And if you will remember, if we go back, Sigmar Gabriel caused controversy not only when he made these statements equating Israel with an apartheid regime, which of course is profoundly offensive to us as South Africans and to us as Israelis, but he also met with far-left organizations like B'Tselem, who many in Israel see as a threat to national security or contra to the tenets of the Jewish state. So he actually, while on his a visit to Hebron several years ago, he made this comparison to apartheid South Africa. I mean, this was in Hebron, and if anybody's been to Hebron, it's quite ironic that he likened Israel to an apartheid state in a city where we're only allowed to live in 3% of the city. So new blood in the German foreign ministry, Heiko Maas, and he is out there to really improve ties between Israel and Germany.
That's incredible. We really are starting to see an incredible amount of improved relationships between certain countries and Israel. It's only South Africa, really, who just can't get over themselves.
Absolutely. And, you know, I read an interesting op-ed today, actually by somebody whose politics I don't agree with at all. And he was making the comparison of South Africa, he was actually saying, what is the impact of relations between the ANC and Israel? How will this impact on the Jewish community? And he said, you know, while the ANC might have certain viewpoints, it's not the greater public that might share this. And just because they are the majority party doesn't mean that they can carry some of their rhetoric or their proposals through. So that was very, very interesting. And I think, you know, it would behoove South Africa to not import divisive politics into the country. There are more domestic issues that need to be dealt with. But come on, guys, wake up, South Africa.
Unfortunately,
Africa's
Raleigh,
opening up.
Unfortunately,
South America's opening up.
Yeah, but identity politics is very, very much a tool that South African politicians are using at the moment. So if you could identify with a certain group and you could create unity amongst a certain specific group of people, that's really what a lot of the politics is about at the moment. It is absolutely appalling. So it should come as no surprise that this continues and this results in institutionalized against maybe anti-Semitism or anti-Israel rhetoric. It is something that we have to be careful about. I want to just talk.
Well, I read your op-ed that you wrote, your excellent op-ed, which I think everybody should read. And you raise a very important point. You know, post-apartheid South Africa, we moved from a very dark period in our history to celebrating the World Cup, and we didn't take the time to really heal and to have those very, very important discussions and soul searching, and perhaps now it is the time.
Absolutely. We are going to have those conversations whether we like it or not, because if we don't, I fear that it's just going to become more and more divisive in this country. Talking about divisive, can you just give us an update on the Tamimi sentencing? We mentioned it yesterday, but we didn't really get into it at all.
Well, yesterday when we got it was breaking news. That's how fresh we are on the Israel 100%. Report on your afternoon with Howard Feldman, everybody. I mean, if people could be flies on the wall to some of our conversations, Howard, when that news comes in.
Absolutely.
But yes, yesterday we did know that Ahed Tamimi accepted a plea bargain. She was sentenced to 8 months in prison and with time already served. And she was arrested 4 months ago after being filmed slapping and shoving soldiers in the village of Nebi Saleh, which is in the West Bank. Her mother, Nariman, and her cousin, Noor, were also charged for their participation in this incident with our soldiers. So basically, her sentence, what we now know, is that it will include time already served, and she'll be released later in the summer, and she also has to pay a fine of 5,000 shekels. I mean, I'm looking at this amount, and it's less than an air ticket to South Africa, Howard.
Mm-hmm. We don't want to hear, please, Rolene. Please don't wish that upon us.
Yeah. Actually, it's not. It's not. I have to apologize for that one. It's not. It's slightly more. But Nariman, her mother, was given 8 month sentence in prison, a suspended sentence, and a fine of 6,000 shekels. And Noor, her cousin, was given a 2,000 shekel fine and a sentence of 16 days time served. And I know that there are elements in the international media that have an absolute outcry over, you know, the fact that Tamimi was arrested. And if I can just remind listeners that she is a professional provocateur. I mean, no sooner had she walked out of the courts, but she said that the courts were an occupation legal system that doesn't provide justice and that they are fake courts.
All right. Well, there we go. And we, of course, are going to take her word for it because she is of such a sterling reputation.
Well, I just wonder where the international petitions are to bring her parents in for questioning on flagrant child abuse charges. I think organizations out there that look after children's rights, I think, need to start with the parents before they start advocating for the children. Start with the parents. You know, we have to look at cause and effect.
100%. Let's just speak for a moment about the Taylor Force Act. That's close to becoming law in the United States. And if you can give our listeners a sense of what that is. The problem is, of course, we've got the Swedish foreign minister saying that she supports payment to terrorists.
Well, this is Swedish Foreign Minister Margot Wallström, who is not really super Israel friendly. I think she could learn some lessons from the new German foreign minister. But she was interviewed with a local Swedish newspaper last week, and they asked her about her opinion of the fact that Ramallah allows or provides financial aid to the family of Palestinians who are in prison for attacking Israelis. We call it the pay for slay laws in the Palestinian territories. And this is what she said, Howard. She said, I'm not quite sure what should be done in that case, but we have to review how we spend our money. But are people supposed to starve to death or what? What are these families supposed to do if they don't receive money? I mean, I don't, is it just me or is it slightly Orwellian, Howard? You know, there are other ways of earning money.
Yeah, so what are they going to do for money besides killing Jews? Is there no alternative? Let's think. Maybe we can have a brainstorming session and think, how else could one earn money besides killing Jews? That's really what she's saying, no?
that really is what she's saying. I mean, it's absolutely astounding, that kind of statement. And, you know, she's likening them to needy families. And I think she needs a very, very quick education that these are not needy, desperate families that send their family members off to kill Jews just because, you know, they need to put food on the table. These are perpetrators or terrorists that are heavily indoctrinated, and that the amount of money or the stipends they receive are astronomical. I mean, Bibi mentioned at APAC just a couple of weeks ago that $350 million goes towards providing financial packages to the families of terrorists. So what we will see now in the United States is that Congress is expected to pass a bill this week that will free State Department funds to the Palestinian Authority unless it stops its pay to slay compensating the families of terrorists who have been convicted in Israeli court. Now, it's named the Taylor Force Act after Taylor Force, an American national who was killed in a terror attack on Jaffa Boulevard in Israel about 2 years ago. And the Trump administration agrees with Israel that we cannot fund this economy of terror anymore. And it looks like it will probably be fully endorsed with bipartisan support. It has passed in the House of Representatives just in December with bipartisan support. And if it's passed in the Houses of Congress, it does become law.
Absolutely incredible that this is so obvious to most people, but the Swedish look, we've had problems with her before, this Swedish foreign minister. It's not her Wallström. It's not her first time that she's shown an incredible bias towards the Palestinians and a flagrant disregard of Israeli lives.
Absolutely. She is known to make statements that are extremely offensive to the Israeli political establishment, to Israeli citizens, and to Jews around the world. And I think Bibi in a speech once referred to Sweden as not exactly a friend of Israel.
Sadly, ain't that the truth. Is Hamas forming an alliance with Iran and Hezbollah to stop Trump's peace plan?
Well, this is a very, very worrying development. First of all, we don't know the contents of the Trump peace plan yet. Our leadership hasn't seen it. Hamas leadership hasn't seen it. But in anticipation for this, Hamas are strengthening their relations with Iran and Hezbollah. And they're also consulting with Russia and China as part of an effort to undo President Donald Trump's plan for peace in the Middle East. As I've just said, we don't know what is in that plan, but they're working to forge some kind of Palestinian Arab Islamic alliance that will be able to confront the Trump peace plan. And we can also see the other elements playing a part here, Howard, with China and Russia, who are perhaps coming into the equation to challenge the role that the United States plays in brokering any kind of peace deal. I think it's also not just a jostling of position between Hamas, Iran, Hezbollah, and Israel, but also of international powers, the United States, China, and Russia. So we heard Trump say that this will be the deal of the century. I hope he knows it's not real estate and something that affects our lives, not just of us here in the region, but of Jews around the world. And this alliance is certainly a cause for concern and one that we will be watching very, very closely.
Do we have any sense as to when this peace plan will actually be presented?
We don't have an exact date, but we are anticipating that pretty soon the Trump peace plan will be made public or be at least shared with the parties involved, and we'll know exactly if it is if it lives up to his reputation as being the author of the art of the deal.
Well, it might be. You know, I do definitely think the fact that he has shown a tremendous amount of strength, we've seen that with North Korea, we are starting to see it with the Palestinians as well. The fact that he doesn't give the impression that he's a complete pushover might well be the answer to a successful deal. We're seeing a lot of support and a lot of interaction with Saudi Arabia. We're seeing him push back on Iran. So maybe, just maybe, he can be the one to bring a deal to the table.
Could be, but notably missing from the Palestinian Arab Islamic Alliance are the Palestinian Authority.
They've never really been a massive fan of peace, have they?
Well, they do tend to speak with forked tongue, and this was evident this week in the way that Abbas referred to members of the Trump administration. And we know that it has been very, very difficult to bring the Palestinian Authority, who are our chief negotiating partner, to the negotiating table.
And that's unfortunately where we leave it, Rolene Marks, with the Israel Report. Rolene, you have a fantastic weekend.